Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
Good morning. Welcome to another session in Adventures in Companionship with myself, Rufilo, and the amazing Dr. Bill Price. Welcome, Doc.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute privilege, honor, and pleasure to be able to just be with you. I'm on this side of the microphone. Rufilo is on the other side of the glass window that's separating us, and she's in the control room making sure that all the little things are happening. And she's keeping me alive with interesting questions and smiling at me and encouraging me, and what a privilege that is. I can't see your face, dear listener, and I'm just wondering who I'm speaking to today.
Yeah.
I wonder who's by chance put the radio on and this station is the station that came up. Well, I want to quickly remind you, please don't change the station, because maybe there might be a whisper from heaven that's coming your way today. Maybe it be a whisper of hope, a whisper of strength and encouragement that can come your way. And these things don't happen per chance. They are an amazing orchestration. Today in our journey, which is called Adventures in Companionship, we are looking at the beauty and the value of being aware that this companionship, this connectivity, this connection between one soul and another soul, one living soul and another living soul, is really based on the profound reality of what is called connection. And we've been created to be able to connect. Connection is more than rapport. I'm not talking to you to have rapport. That's not my goal. I don't want to have rapport with you. Rapport means that we think about the same things, I guess, and we're listening with attention, and I've got your attention, and I don't want that. I don't want rapport. I don't want your attention. I want you to be able to sense my words from within. I want you to feel that you're listening to me with a stethoscope on your ears, and that you're placing the other end of the stethoscope on my heart. I want you to hear my heart and not my words. And that shifts from rapport to connection. You hear the heartbeat of a word.
Yeah.
A friend that I was trying to just influence to commit their lives to God and to surrender themselves to a God of love, many months had a journey with him. And one day I said to him, Jimmy, can I do something? Have I got your permission to touch your heart? And he said, yes. Of course, wouldn't have done this with a lady. I would have asked her to have touched her own heart. But and that's called proximity, which is one of the principles of relationship. You have got boundaries. You don't. And I said to him, Jim, so you've heard me quote something from the Bible many times, and I'd like to quote it this again today, but different. And I promise you, I'm just going to do it once. And I'm just going to do it, and if you'll allow me to touch your heart. So I touched his heart, and if you're a listener, I'm going to put my finger on the microphone, and I touched like a heartbeat. And I started quoting, "For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son to die for you."
Wow.
"So that you might have life, and life everlasting."
Wow.
He wept. He was weeping.
I would weep too.
And he said, for the first time, he looked up at me with tears streaming down his face, and he said, I want that kind of God in my life right now. And I said, it's quite simple. All you do is ask him to come in. And he did. His life was miraculously changed. He went to China. He was an English teacher in China and influenced young children. And he Skyped me one day and said, Bill, I've never forgotten that day when you tapped my heart. And he said, I've done that in class where I've had the little children with their one hand feel the heartbeat or their pulse with their fingers and get the rhythm of it. And then once they've got the rhythm on, to put their hand on their heart and to tap their heart, and then I would quote the saying or the scripture. He said the silence in that classroom when I'm finished quoting and when they finish tapping, he said, was profound. So biblical companionship is based on connection, not rapport. Connection is hearing the heartbeat behind the words. So the first principle of companionship that's true is the principle of connectivity, the principle of being connected. And friendship is the only thing in the world that gives and concerns the usefulness of which all mankind is agreed upon. That's what the Roman philosopher Cicero wrote in the first century before Christ. But while all people long for friendship and genuine friends are hard to come by, there are many factors that contribute to the death of a friendship and the death of a companionship. Increasing mobility. I sometimes, as a grandfather, long for my grandchildren, and I'll have a WhatsApp face with them, and if I could just see their face and just touch them, and I want to know what they feel. I want to look in their eyes when they talk to me, which I'm thankful for, because I was also raised in a time where we just had telephones and we didn't have cells. So I've shows you how old I am. I've gone through the advent of the cell age, having carry a phone around me available 24 hours. But the book of Proverbs is a wonderful book in the Old Testament, a book of wisdom. And in Proverbs 18:24, a second principle comes to be. It says, a man or woman of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So yeah. The first principle is you need to select your friends. Who's close to you? Who's far away from you? And if last week you listened to the session and on the podcast, listen to the session if it's available, is the session on circles of intimacy. So you need to have selection taking place. And then there's proximity as a second principle. Proximity is about the distance of intimacy, the distance that makes friendship more and are more difficult or more alive. And again, in Proverbs 27, verse 10, do not forsake your friend and your father's friend, and do not go out to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away. And so the word friend is the same word neighbor. And it was Emerson that said, go often to the house of your friend, for weeds choke up an unused path. If you don't walk often, if you don't walk that path often, so in our discussions of companionship, we spoke about the two pillars, which is time and effort.
Yeah, yeah, I remember
and
that.
You need to apply time and you need to apply effort to it. And those that are closest to you, you spend more time with, more quality time with and those that are furthest to you. You spend quality time with, but not as often. A third principle is the principle of boundaries. So Benjamin Franklin was a very amazing president, and he said, guests like fish stink after 3 days. So don't wear out your welcome. That's what he said. So you've got to be aware of the fact that timing is great, but you need to be able to set boundaries. You can't spend all the time. Yeah. Even your spouse, you cannot spend all the time with them all the time. You need to make room and space for your spouse. Say, go out and meet some friends. For goodness sake, go out and watch your favorite movie. Get out of the house and go for a walk. And go and see your sisters and brothers and whatever. So we need to set boundaries for each other. For any relationship to be able to work. And then the next principle is the principle of being mutual. Proverbs 27 verse 29 reads, oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes because of their earnest counsel. Iron sharpens iron, and one person sharpens another, Proverbs 27:17. So mutuality means that I respect and honor you, and I see you as being created in the creation of God. Yeah. You are in the image of God. That's the first and foremost. I don't care who you are. And whether you are a Christian or not, and whether you are of my faith or not, or whether you are whatever, that's the first premise I make in any relationship. You are in the image of God, and that's as simple as that. The next principle, I guess, would be mutual respect. And respect is the foundation of any good relationship. And respect simply means that I don't bring shame on you. Respect means I honor you. I don't belittle you. I value you. I honor you. I make room for your diversity, and I realize that your story is your story. And I'm in this relationship not to make you and your story like mine. I give you room and space. The next principle is the principle of candor. Candor is like I'm open with my communication. In actual fact, faithful are the words of a friend than the profuse kisses of an enemy. And Oscar Wilde once said, a true friend stabs you from the front. And we mustn't be afraid to challenge each other and be brave and go, that's not right. I really believe the way you treated that person wasn't good. And the way that you treated your mother, the way that you spoke to your father, wow, I'd want to challenge you on that.
Yeah.
The next principle is the principle of forgiveness. And Proverbs 17 verse 9 reads, whoever covers an offense has love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. And a friend's eye is slow to see small faults, said William Shakespeare. And if we bring these principles into our relationship, oh man, it's going to be so beautiful. And then the other principle is that of being constant. Proverbs 17:7, a beautiful proverb, reads, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And Jesus said it, Yeshua said it in John 15. There's no greater love than a man that'll lay down his life for his friends. And so the greatest threats to a relationship is when one or both of you stop doing and stop being. I want to encourage you to stop trying. Take the word try and throw it out of your vocabulary.
Yeah.
I'll try. The word try has already got failure built into it. And build these principles into your journey. Don't hold grudges. Don't take everything personally. Realize that you're not there to be critical. Realize that you must stop, if you do, passing the blame. And stop subtly trying to change other people. Stop laughing at someone else's expense, rather laugh with them. Stop pretending to listen. Stop trying to turn quality into something else. and stop making the other person your entire life.
Yeah.
Because they'll just destroy you.
Yeah.
And lack of joy and positivity in relationships. We need to have righteous conflict. We need to be able to relate to each other.
Yeah.
Share with each other. Share the light. Speak the truth in love. And not allow distrust to come into the space of our relationship, because then that'll mess up every single principle and we land up lonely and sadly broken.
So can you just highlight the issue with people who struggle to take in correction?
They must listen to the next session, because I'm going to talk about the kinds of fools in your life.
All right.
So, until next week, same time.
Same place.
Yeah.
Faith, hope, and love. Experience victory in your life on 657 AM.
If you need prayer, please send your request to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za or WhatsApp 067-429-7564, or go to Radio Pulpit website on www.radiopulpit.co.za.
Reach your customers in the car, at the office, at home, or wherever they are, night or day. Through advertising with Radio Pulpit, you can reach a large, unique, and loyal audience in a most affordable way. With over 500,000 people on our various platforms, from Gauteng to the Cape, you simply cannot go wrong. So advertise today. Contact us on 012-334-1339. Or for advertising packages that we offer, go to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Terms and conditions apply.
Download our app now and listen to us wherever you go. Available in the App Store and Play Store.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.